Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul, and Mark is off having a nice vacation. Our guests today, or my guests today, are Ed Bourgeois and Ethan Pettigrew, here to talk about Assimilation, which will open next Wednesday at Cyrano's. This is a play. Well, you tell me about it, Ed.
Well, the play is written by, it's a new play, and actually this is a world premiere. It's a new play by Jack Dalton, who many Cyrano's, so local theater aficionados know as the author of My Heart Goes in Two Directions at Once, or I can't remember the exact name of his last play at Cyrano's. And he did the two-person play with Allison. Help me. What's the name? What was the name of that one?
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, Jack's gonna hate me for not remembering that. But it's a new play by Jack Dalton, and it's set in sort of an indeterminate time, sort of futuristic. The idea is after dominant culture society has collapsed, this is in this sort of new world. It's a Yupik boarding school, and white students, white children are the students in the boarding school. So it flips the idea of the native boarding school that we all know, that experience that occurred over the last 100 years or so in this country and this state. And Ethan plays the elder, who's sort of the principal, the headmaster of the school. We have a teacher, a Yupik teacher, and three students. So it's a very small cast. It is kind of raw and edgy material, because it's the idea is it turns that concept on its head, and these kids are treated the way we know historically Native kids were treated in boarding schools.
Ethan, you went to a boarding school, no?
No, I didn't. I went to Wrangell School, Wrangell Public School.
Oh, okay.
I had cousins in the boarding school. And
okay, but you're familiar with a boarding school. So, however,
oh, yes.
You're young enough that by that time I would hope things were a little better.
There were still issues that I remember talking to kids out there. First of all, at one point we were told the BIA came to our public school and told us you can't communicate with these kids anymore. We're not wanting you to visit with them. We're not wanting you any contact with them. So anytime we got together with them, we would have to be in the secret in the woods or something like that. And there was nothing deviant going on. I think it was just a big control issue. But, you know, I remember kids in that school that were not allowed to return home in the summer because the understanding was that their villages were too remote, too expensive to get them home. So I used to feel real bad for some of those kids because they were stuck there year-round for who knows how many years.
That's different from when I was working the school kid movement for the airlines. At that time, if you wanted any real high school, it was and lived in a village, it was necessary to go to boarding school. There just weren't any high schools in some places, in small towns, no grade school. So grade school students whose families were willing were sent to Wrangell, and high school students were sent to a number of places, mm-hmm. Mount Edgecombe for one, in Sitka, and Chemawa in Portland, Oregon, and then there was Haskell, which was more like a pre-college and was off in Kansas.
And even some as far as Chilocco, Oklahoma.
In Chilocco. I was trying to think of the other one. I knew it began with CH and couldn't get any further. And they were treated pretty rough.
Yes.
Very rough in many cases.
I think what people need to realize is that this assimilation movement began in Sheldon Jackson's period and Reverend S. Hall Young. Their whole mission was to basically eradicate the nativeness in us and create, you know, worthy citizens, as they would have put it, or as Reverend S. Hall Young had said. So, yes, these boarding schools, I think, were the perfect example of how we can remove these kids from their families and villages and push this idea of assimilation. But people need to also realize that it was not just specific to the boarding schools. Even the village schools that were established at that time were very big on assimilation. It was across the entire country with Native people. This was the mode of education for them, or they believed, people believed strongly that this is what needed to take place.
It was strange attitude. And it wasn't just confined to the Americas either.
Mm-mm. No, that's a, you know, this is, this play will undoubtedly upset some people. And I think the playwright's intention and what we're doing and working on the play is to try to, like I said, it's raw and we're not hiding anything. And it will make people uncomfortable if they dwell on the sort of guilt aspect or take it as confrontational, because most people today will say, well, I wasn't involved in that. But we are all descendants of what happened. And it didn't just happen in the United States. It is any time there is a dominant culture and an indigenous culture. But part of the healing process that is necessary is addressing that, because one of the things that Jack talks about is that in some countries there have been apologies for what happened, but there has not been an official apology in the United States. But we acknowledge that, that we know that these things happened, and it was at a time part of an official policy, kill the Indian and save the man. That was part of this process of assimilation, that taking any indigenous population and assimilating it effectively helps it to go away. And then we all are this melting pot idea. We all become one. We all become American.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with my guests, Ed Bourgeois and Ethan Petercrew. I'll get this. And we're talking about Assimilation, which opens this coming Wednesday night, night before Thanksgiving at Cyrano's. And is an interesting play and an interesting subject that is in our not that remote past. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, things are better now, but not completely. There's still problems.
Yeah, there's still problems.
There's still racism.
Yeah, and even in our schools, we still deal with the issue of teaching from the dominant culture perspective or the value system of the dominant culture versus the culture of the community or the village. I know that we still... I was in education for 21 years as a teacher and school administrator, and it's something we deal with all the time here still. I think when people come to this play, they need to, when they watch this thing, there's going to be a lot of emotions that come up. I think what they need to realize, especially non-Native folks, is this is not a we wish it was like this as Native people, because we certainly wouldn't want anyone to go through what our parents and grandparents went through with these boarding schools. This reversal thing that Jack did with the play, I think, will create tremendous dialogue, especially with non-Native community. One of the things we hear a lot is, as Native people, oh, it's done and it's over. You guys move on. Get over with it. But I think what they don't realize is the intergenerational pain and grief that it has caused within our Native communities. For instance, the boarding school is largely responsible for the loss of our languages, the loss of many parts of our culture, which all lead to disengaging or disassociating children from their home community. So, I mean, no wonder we have all these suicide rates that are up there. And there's pain that we, even though I didn't go through it, my parents and grandparents did. So there's pain that we as Native people are still dealing with that's been passed down to us from our parents and grandparents from these boarding school situations.
Well, that's true not only with Native people too, but with the immigrants and the sons and daughters of immigrants whose parents went through it. Anytime there was a large influx into the United States of Irish or Hungarian, in my husband's case, or Spanish, mm-hmm. as is happening now.
But what happens
there,
in...
there's the same problem of not accepting that people are different with mm-hmm. different backgrounds and different cultures, but it doesn't make them any the less people.
Absolutely. And we found this in, you know, the Balkanization, in the Balkans, the mm-hmm. Balkan War and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of globalization in a modern world, this is mm-hmm. addressed in the play too, but is not that, well, it should not be, in our opinion, that our individual selves go away or our individual heritages go away in this melting pot. The difference with indigenous cultures is, like was said in another play, Growing Up Native in Alaska, that we did, one of the quotes from a living person today, a leader, a Native leader, a quote in that book, in the original book that it was taken from, was I have no home country to go back to learn my ways. If you're French, if you're Italian, German, Irish, from any other, not even European mm-hmm. countries, but any other country, there is a homeland to which you can return and recover the lost information. But in Native cultures, this is the homeland. And if that's crushed and eradicated, then it disappears. There are interesting concepts, though, that are brought up in the play and other Native plays that are being written, which is that information never really goes away. You know, the elders, if the elders pass and they take information with them, with cultures that firmly believe in reincarnation and the spirit passing from generation to generation, those things, the hope and the positive thing is that those things never really go away. But you see, the dominant culture not believing in that believes that a culture can be eradicated by language going away.
Well, this is a fascinating conversation, and we're going to run out of time in just mm-hmm. a minute, and I'd like to hear what you do in the play, Ethan.
I play the elder in the play, which is the headmaster of the school. I am the perfect ugly headmaster that is bent on making these children not be who they really are. I am trying to form them into perfect little real human beings, being able to speak correctly. So I beat them for using their own language. There's hints of sexual abuse, which happened in the boarding schools. I think I exemplify the whole Sheldon Jackson, Reverend S. Hall Young person.
Well, now we are out of time, so I want to thank you both for coming, Ed Bourgeois and Ethan Pettigrew. I'll not put that G in this time. But don't go away, because I'm going to have you help me with the calendar, which comes up next. And now, here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar, go to datebook49.com, where you can list your event on KSKA's website. UAA Theater's production of Singing in the Rain begins tonight on the UAA main stage. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 3. For tickets and information, call 786-1792 or go to theater, that's theater with an R-E, .uaa.alaska, spelled out, .edu.
The Storytellers Guild of Anchorage celebrate their 15th Telebration tomorrow, November 20th, at 7 at our Out North. On this date, all over the country, storytellers gather to tell stories. This is a free event. For more information, call Betty Arnett at 346-1781.
On Saturday, December 11th, there will be a free workshop. The class will focus on devising original scripts through creative writing, structured improvisation, and ensemble building techniques. Space is limited. To participate in the workshop, please contact Maureen Clark at 786-3469 or maureen_clark@fws.gov.
Tonight, Out North presents, for one night only, Debutante Balls at 8 p.m., a stand-up comedy performance by Manager Schofield. No reservations are necessary.
Talent GPS is offering a free industry Q&A session on getting into the stage and film arts on Sunday. Call Lisa Owens at 903-1299 or go to talentgps@me.com.
Reefer Madness, the musical, is a hilarious musical comedy adaptation of the classic 1936 anti-marijuana propaganda film. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and again at 10:30 through November 27th at the Wildberry Theater, 562-0497.
At Cyrano's, the world premiere of Assimilation, the story of a boarding school run by UPIC that is trying to assimilate white students into the UPIC culture, will open next Wednesday, the 24th at 7 p.m., following a Pay What You Can preview on Tuesday. The show will then run Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 3, through December 4th, with a special performance on Wednesday, December 1st. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul.